Let's bring in Michael Darda. He is MKM Partners Chief Economist and Macro Strategist. And Michael, let's start with that disappointing headline number. What do you think happened in the month?
Yeah, I think we could still be looking at some disturbances from the Delta variant here in the headline figures. But I'd really, really like to emphasize the fact that for the second month in a row, there were actually quite a few hot aspects to the data. You know, as was just discussed, the headline number 194, that was a big miss, and we had a disappointment on the labor force participation rate. So we saw the labor force decline. So those were the negatives, but we had a list of positives, a pretty substantial upward revision to the prior 2 months of 169K. That was good. We had pretty hot wage growth, you know, this pretty significant 6/10 month over month. We also had a pretty hot increase in aggregate hours worked. So those two together, hours worked and wages paid, basically are a proxy for labor market incomes, which are growing quite rapidly and will support strong spending growth going forward. In addition, the unemployment rate is actually calculated from a separate survey. And for the second month in a row, that separate survey, the household survey, showed substantially stronger job gains, over 500K for September, second month in a row that that happened. And so the drop in the unemployment rate to 4.8% was only partially driven by labor force dropouts. We also had pretty strong household employment growth. And so I think all in, you know, this is a hotter labor market than the headline figures would suggest.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, as Emily was kind of hitting there at the end of her report, you know, it kind of stems back to whether or not it's going to be enough here to keep the Fed in their path of tapering. I mean, when you look at it and think back to what we heard from them at the last policy meeting, I mean, you expect nothing to change there in terms of seeing it happen in a month time.
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to impact the taper timing whatsoever. In fact, I think you could make a fairly strong case that the Fed is considerably further behind the curve this time than when they pulled the trigger on the taper in the last cycle in January 2014, which, you know, very well arguably could have been too early. Back then, the unemployment rate was 6.6% and dropping very gradually. Today, we're at 4.8% for last month and collapsing. And so if you just take the year-to-date monthly average rate of descent in the unemployment rate, we will be in a labor market configuration by the middle of next year before the, you know, Fed is even done adding to the balance sheet, right? The taper just means smaller incremental additions, where the unemployment rate will be in the twos and below two by the end of next year if these trends persist. Now, even if the labor market recovery slows dramatically, thinking about the unemployment rate again, if the rate of descent decelerates by 50%, we still have a situation by the end of next year where the unemployment rate would be below the trough of the last cycle before the Fed's even expected to lift off of zero. So this is a setup, in my opinion, for overheating risks in a way that we did not see during the last cycle. And so I don't think the weaker headline figures are really going to deter the Fed on the tapering path at all here.
Michael, you mentioned the federal enhanced unemployment benefits expiring in September. I know we're not looking at this entire period that this report is for, but you know, that was long the argument for many people who said those benefits are keeping people from coming back to the workforce. Now we're talking about a labor participation rate that actually ticked down. I mean, is this just a matter of sort of the time, giving a little more lag time here for people to return to the workforce? Or does that suggest that that's not necessarily what kept people away?
You know, I think we're going to have to look at it a few more months of data, but most certainly the longer it goes on that the labor force is not picking up, as we move through the pandemic and as some of these policies that were purported to disincentivize people from reentering lapse, then you know, the argument certainly gets weaker. All of that said, I think we know we still had some distortions from the, from the Delta variant taking place in September, the reference week crisscrossed with, jobless claims jumping up a bit. And so I'd say for a really clean read on that, I think we're going to have to look at October, November, December, because it's not just the unemployment benefits. You also have schools reopening now, but the Delta wave certainly did disrupt things. So I don't think we have a perfectly clean read on September, but I think as time goes on, we should probably have a bit more humility in terms of how many, folks left the labor force that may return. It's really been fairly steady since the fall of last year. So there may not be the reserve army of unemployed that are hidden out there. And if that's the case, then we're up against, much stiffer capacity constraints. It's actually an inflationary argument, not a deflationary one. So, yeah, that's a good point you brought up. I think we're going to need a few more months of data, but the labor force pickup, really, it's been predicted, but it's not unfolding, at least not yet.
Yeah, don't want to make too much of just 1 month of reporting there. But Michael, it's always good to get your perspective. Michael Darda, MKM Partners Chief Economist and Macro Strategist.